Hello, everybody, and welcome to the...
Wait, two?
Four?
I think it needs to be three. Two taps?
I mean...
And we're starting over again.
And welcome to this month's meeting of the Missing Movie Club. I'm going to get things started and call it to order. That was three taps, specifically for Pamela.
There we go.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
I knew you would like it.
Ooh. I can't get started, which is two.
She's a three tapper.
Three tapper.
That's what she said.
Let's, So, We are here this month to discuss the Philadelphia Story.
Woo! Ooh. Yeah.
Isn't she yaw?
Yaw.
It was very yaw. Unlike my hat.
I sound like Eartha Kitt. I cannot do it. I'm sorry. I can't do it. But I would still keep doing it.
Great Katherine Hepburn.
The loons, Henry.
Oh, God.
The loons.
Okay, so we're talking about the Philadelphia Story, which is from 1940, and we have some other business to get through as usual, so...
Oh god, I have a whole sheet.
Hi!
Do I introduce myself first?
I think you need no introduction.
I agree. Let's do a little roll call. President Jan.
As it should be.
There's always things called a coup. Vice President Pamela.
Hello, hello.
Treasurer Krios.
Yo.
And as your fabulous secretary, the one, the only, Jason, I'm here.
We're all glad.
I am present.
We're so
excited. All so happy. Okay, so up next is our treasurer's report, Chris.
We actually made a small contribution to the Trevor Project in the name of the Missing Movie Club. For those of you that don't know, the Trevor Project is the world's largest suicide prevention and crisis intervention organization for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning young people. If anybody else would like to make a donation or learn more about this organization, you can visit their website at thetrevorproject.org.
And we'll link that in the show notes for everybody too, so you can just get right to their page.
Yes, definitely. Nice.
Yay.
We did Treasurer actually had a job.
I know. I had to do something.
It's amazing.
And I thought it was just going to be, you know, an easy...
See, this is the kind of change you get with my administration.
Well, all right. Wow. Now, I guess we'll move on to our Vice President, Pamela, for new business.
Yes.
New business. We did have an issue with our Facebook page. Banned.
I think it was Chris, reason. Personally. I think it's continuously pissing off the Zuck.
I'm already banned from Facebook, so I don't have a page anymore.
You're just
so.
Trying to take us all out one by one.
I can't even be on Facebook, so.
We had to make a new Facebook page, so if you had followed us and liked us, please do so again. We miss you. There's a link at the bottom of our page, missingmovieclub.com. We'll take you to the correct Facebook page, and we are sorry for the inconvenience of you having to push another button.
I will not admit fault, Zuck.
I mean, it was John's fault.
I didn't think we were blaming this new administration with their new things that they're doing.
Actually, what I think happened is that it pulled over our logo when I linked something, like, but it was blurry enough that it looked like the Coke logo.
Oh,
that's my guess.
Sometimes they're software.
So we'll be changing our logo to purple and magenta now.
Also, you'll need to know that we're on a new platform. All our episodes are now available on Odyssey.com and on the Odyssey app.
Yay!
New platforms.
Good. That's amazing. We might get some new listeners that way.
Yeah, like I feel like we have to be running out of platforms because there's so many.
New one that pops up all the time. As a professional podcast host myself, who stays abreast of these things? Not really.
He has insider industry knowledge.
There's always people like, I'm on this platform. And I'm like, what is? I've never even heard of that.
You know, that is my fear of getting older, is losing out on those things with young people, technology-wise, the new things, and I'm just always like, yeah, that's my fear that I'm going to completely lose touch with. So far, I've stayed up with a lot of it, but yeah.
I haven't.
Yeah.
But I watch the TikToks.
The TikToks.
The TikToks.
I do love a
TikTok.
I'm getting there.
Someday,
you know, the Missing Movie Club could be on a TikTok.
Well, we got a TikTok account. We just don't
do
anything on it.
I'm just saying, we got to put the video of us.
but I want to look cuter, and I need to know. I need the front hand. Sorry, Papa.
Can we hire this?
It's time
us?
For the Jason dating report.
Still it'll single. It'll be like you know the old John Popper video, the runaround video. We'll get attractive people to sit around the table and like mouth our. Like, we'll be behind like the screen, and, you know.
Yeah.
So that
like
you know,
people.
Amazing.
We'll have young, attractive people playing us, but we'll be so behind funny. The screen.
I kind of want to see the version with puppets too.
I just want a puppet of me. It'll look really cute.
Okay.
Let's get into the Philadelphia story. It's from 1940, and who were the people that hadn't seen it?
I hadn't seen it.
I have also not seen it.
And Pamela and I had both seen it.
Yes.
Multiple times.
Yes, it's a favorite movie.
Philadelphia Story has a really complex story to it, so I'm just going to read the IMDb description, and we'll go from there and discuss it, because the story will kind of come out that way anyway. According to IMDb, when a rich woman's ex-husband and a tabloid-type reporter turn up just before her planned remarriage, she begins to learn the truth about herself.
Oh, wow. All right.
And hilarity ensues.
There you go.
There you go.
What an interesting way to sum up this movie.
Yeah.
Because remember that one part, like, I was like, wait, who's the dad? I'm so confused.
It's complex, but they didn't really wait for you to catch on back then. They were like, you keep up or you fall behind. This isn't for you.
Yeah. Get your nickel out and go buy some popcorn, Johnny, and sit outside for not paying attention.
Like, watching this, I feel like there are a lot of social mores and stuff that we don't get, but audiences then would have gotten. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, some of the cultural references I'm sure we don't get, like the names they call each other for kicks and stuff. But that's definitely part of it, I think, is why it's a little more confusing for us, you know.
Well, and I think... Okay, so it took me a second to figure out, because they started talking about the class system, and the class system kind of changes. Like, what do you consider lower class, middle class, and upper class, right? Well, we don't even use those definitions anymore. We've got lower class, we've got middle class, we've got middle upper. Like, and they go for so many things. So when they were like, oh, well, she's high class, and you're a snob, not by money, but by intellectualness, or whatever she's, I don't know, right. Smart people. So I think I got confused early on, because I was like, well, are they not all in the same social circle? Because it seemed like her family was a class below Cary Grant's.
Right.
Am I right in that? Because that's what I took away, that Cary Grant was a higher class status than she was.
Yeah, that's what I got too. They were a step up.
I didn't realize that.
Because she made a comment about him being something about how he was a higher class. Like, I don't think she actually said the word higher class, but she said something that alluded to the fact that he was in the upper echelon of society. She was next. And then, of course, Jimmy Stewart and everybody else was lower in the ranks.
Well, right. I just assumed they were all one percenters and moved on.
Which is why I think it's interesting now, because we would just say, oh, you're a one percenter, right? But what about the three percenters? Yeah. You never talk about the three percenters.
Or like older money, like he came from older money. Mm-hmm, right. Or maybe in the old world they had titles and stuff.
Yeah, because
her family didn't.
Her dad ran a coal company, right?
Right.
Because that's where George,
came from,
new fiancé.
Yeah, he's the manager now for the coal company.
So, I guess...
it could be the Cary Grant. Yeah, that could be when she's talking about class like that. Because you don't really know really what Cary Grant does, except for he starts working for a spy magazine. Yeah. But why he started to work for spy magazine, if he had money, was kind of an odd...
he was a shipbuilder.
Yeah, some kind of thing. So it could just be that what Pamela said, it's like he had the old money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his family just had money, so he's just kind of one of those trust fund babies. Whereas it seems like maybe her dad had kind of come up.
So, from a person who's... poor. to me, it's like, oh God, even when you got money, you're still stigmatized in a class.
Oh yeah.
Right? Definitely. Like, you're still like, whether you're old money, new money.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, old money, new money. I mean, well, that's Hamilton. You know, he didn't have money, so he came into money, and they were all the old money. Jefferson and them.
I always think about the unsinkable Molly Brown in the Titanic. Like, she was new money, and how they all treated her so poorly, the ones that came from old money.
Mm.
So even with that, even just because you have money doesn't mean, like, because we're humans, so we have to put as many labels on shit as possible so we can all have something to look down upon or something to look up to.
Mm-hmm. I knew we were going to get real serious.
Thank you, Vice President.
I knew we were going to do this. I knew this was going to happen. We always get real serious with some of these movies.
We do. Because we're intellectuals.
Hang on. Thank you.
Which actually brings us in the point that's with, you know, Jimmy Stewart's character, that's where she started to kind of lay him out with that, because he kind of came into it with the class, and then she's like, well, you're a snob, you're an intellectual snob. That's why she started calling him professor in the one scene, to get under his skin. is because, he doesn't have money. But it's a very lot of class systems and structures in this movie that you don't really think. And I'm guessing the director and then the writer thought of it that way because she uses it as a needle. And it uses a needle against her, when she's talking to George, because George is lower. There's a lot of different class systems built into the movie. And like I said, just because Jimmy Stewart didn't have money, she accepted him because of that intellectual snobism, because she felt he was on a level, even though he didn't have the currency, he had the ability to stay in a conversation. So yeah, I think that flows through the whole movie.
I think you're right, because we were reading on IMDb that this was a play beforehand. And as throughout history, plays have always been used to shine a light on lots of different things, right? And so I think you're exactly right. I think when the playwright wrote it, it was, let me show you how the class system actually is and how the class system is a class system within itself. So.
And then when they remade it into a musical, they called it High Society. So everything was...
I didn't know it was a musical.
Yeah, with Frank Sinatra and...
Bing Crosby.
Sounds like I need to watch
And Grace
that.
Kelly.
Yeah, it's really good. One of the songs that you hear a lot on like compilations of Bing and Frank music is from that. It's the What a Swell Party This Is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ooh, I'm excited. I will check this out. Yeah. I love a good musical.
Love some Bing Crosby.
And I recommend that movie to our listeners. It's fun.
Yeah.
I would watch this movie first, watch The Philadelphia Story first, and then watch High Society.
I feel like you'll appreciate High Society better after having seen this, just because you'll understand the storyline and see how they tweaked it. It's good.
Did they take out the domestic violence?
Yeah, I think so.
I told you, it was the first note I wrote.
I mean, maybe tumbling was just a hobby and he was giving her one last tumble.
That is not how you give a tumble.
Can you give us a description of exactly what you're talking about?
So in the first 18 seconds of this movie, I don't know if it's 18, it's probably like 30, but whatever. I've never seen it. I'm sitting here. I was just saying to them, I was like, I love the music from the 40s. They would do a musical interlude. Kind of give you an idea. The music would set the stage for really kind of what the whole show was going to be. Like, we knew that this was still going to be like a comedy, right? Because the music was giving us those vibes. Katharine Hepburn is throwing Cary Grant out of the house. And then she breaks apparently the cheapest golf club I've ever seen in my life. Which he then goes to look like he's gone the puncher in the face. And I was like, well, this doesn't look good. He then... bear paws her face. He takes his entire hand and he grabs her face and with all of his daddy Cary Grantness launches her to the ground. He grabbed her by the face.
It looked like swinging a door open.
God.
Down.
I was just like, are we not going to talk about this? Because I know Chris and I reacted and you two sat there like, yeah, this is how marriage works. Sometimes you gotta grab somebody by the face, throw them to the ground, let them know what's going on.
Just to throw it in there, golf clubs were made out of wood back then.
It doesn't matter. It was cheap. It was like a twig.
It's almost a prop.
We just talked about... It doesn't matter. We just talked about how much money they had. Should have bent. Should have bent.
The wood bent. The wood golf club
should have bowed. But no, there was quite a bit of domestic violence, sort of. And I know we're looking at it through the lens of today, but I can't believe somebody was like, oh, that's real funny, hardy har har, he showed that name. Like,
that name.
What?
I would like to throw this out there. Clearly, later in the movie, they indicate that he was an alcoholic at that point. They talk about
that
it over
and
over.
Your trauma doesn't...
I'm not
give
saying
you...
it makes it better, but when people are an alcoholic or they have an addiction, they do things that are not in their character.
I agree.
If he was drunk at the time or whatever.
Was it necessary to show in the movie? You could have easily had like her throw a case of his empty bottles on the ground. There could have been anything else, because I didn't take from that he was an alcoholic at that point. Maybe I have to watch a couple more times. I didn't. I was just like, what a dick.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to find that out until later. Yeah. You're not supposed to like him at the start.
Which is fine. I just, again, I'm looking at it through today's lens. I don't think it was okay to grab by the face.
There's a lot of violence in the movie. There's a lot of talk about violence and about socking them and...
They talk about socking her a lot.
Well, you got to think back then, though. They probably literally to establish his manliness.
Yep.
Because she is a very strong female character, which I applaud the director in them because they have him in pants. They have for the 40s. I think they had to give something to the male audience that was going to see it. They had to show him have a dominance without being... Because, he could have just walked up and socked her right in the face.
Yeah.
But I think they chose that because it was more... comical that he just pushed her down and not, and I think that's just to establish, you know, because honestly, you think if a guy went to that, he's going to see that and just be like, he let his, you know, dame mouth off to him. So I'm sorry, domestic violence was very prominent, but just wasn't talked about.
Totally get it. Yeah. I totally get it. But I also feel like there were several scenes where they just tore her down.
They did, and I agree with you on that one. And I like, think there was, and she didn't necessarily respond how she, I think she should have either. She kind of comes back to rip them, but they do. They just let her.
And it was never the women.
No,
it was always the men that tore her down. Yep. Like. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you think you're a goddess. I think I'm a goddess. I know Pamela thinks she a goddess. We goddesses.
We goddess? You looking like you're not a goddess. You a goddess, girl.
I'm not a goddess.
You a girl. You a goddess.
No, I'm not a goddess.
You goddess. You a goddess.
This is the weirdest shit.
I just, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, like, I really like the movie. I can't wait to watch it again, honestly. Like, I'll probably watch it again next week.
That felt like the scene Bubble Boy.
You a goddess.
Well, I just in her personality and who she is just a step above everyone. Mm-hmm. That's what they're establishing in the movie, and I think that it makes other people feel very insecure mm-hmm. because she has such high standards and high respect for herself, and she expects other people to live up to those high standards, and they don't. When they let her down, she acts more like a guy would. She's just like, okay, you let me down. Whatever, you're cut off. But being a woman, we're supposed to be more motherly and say, it's okay, honey. You know, you made a mistake. You made a mistake.
You grabbed me by my face. It's fine.
And she just doesn't. And, you know, I get that.
But I think that's what Jason and I are talking about, is that you could tell it got to her.
Yes.
And
yes.
That they kind of do establish, because she does kind of come back in some of those situations and throws those kind of zingers back at them. But in the scene where they're around the pool and she gets dragged by pretty much every man she encounters, I thought that they were going to kind of then turn around and give her that moment to be like, well, yeah, but you're a piece of trash, too. Mm-hmm. You know, these are the problems. And then they don't really give her that moment.
No, I feel like if it was today's audience, they would give her that. But yeah. As she was a woman in the 40s,
yeah.
They didn't give her that platform to stand on, because she wasn't the things that a woman was supposed to be in the 40s. And we still get flack for today.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, and so that brings up a point. I was pulling up my notes. Even the little sister called her, oh, well, she's hard. Mm-hmm. Right? And I was like, you know, that was code for bitch. Because I was like, damn, even the little sister who clearly idolizes her, acts almost just like her, mm-hmm. but even said, oh, you know, well, she's hard, mom. That's just who she is. She's hard. And it's like, but is she, or is she just like, no, like this is me. I didn't feel like she needed to be knocked down a peg either. Like, I liked her character, but I'm also attracted to that type of personality. And like all of my female friends, Pamela included, are very strong, independent women. They just say what's on their mind. They do what they need to do. And you're not going to hold me back. And so like this character is somebody that I've been like, oh, we'd have been friends. Yeah. First of all, we'd have been drinking out by the pool every damn day. And we would have had a conversation about why there were no pool boys. But.
And what would you have been wearing? Clearly you loved her fashion.
I know she would have had a friend that would have helped her out with that fashion. She wore real bad hats and real bad dresses. I'm just saying. She needed a friend. But that was the other thing that I wrote. I was like, wow, hard. What a harsh term to describe anybody and really, but especially like why are you calling your sister? Oh, she's just hard, mom. Like, and what I did appreciate though is the clear opposite of her to her mother.
Oh yes. Well, her mother's very soft.
Yes.
Very warm.
Passive. Mm-hmm.
Took back. Mm-hmm. I mean, are we led to believe that the mom took the dad back?
Yes.
That's.
The dad had an affair. Blamed the daughter of all the... I got what the dad was saying a little bit about, like, younger women are going to make me feel younger. Because I get it. Like, you know, we all know men have midlife crises.
Crises? Whatever.
Anyway, crises. And a lot of it is trying to retain that youth. But how dare you blame your daughter for that? That doesn't make sense.
I feel like you're just being a dick at that point.
Yeah!
You just want to be a dick.
I mean, but there was nothing about the dad character I like. I didn't like the mm-mm, actor.
No.
I don't like
nope.
the storyline. I don't. He's there to be the dude that gets everything kicked off because he's a douche.
Yeah.
Well, and like the mom even has, though, there was that discussion about it with her at the beginning when she's talking about, now you know, this is, I'm here alone, mm-hmm. you know, is her choices that she had made, because when she was talking about her, you know, getting a divorce and everything. Mm-hmm. So the mom even comes out and realizes that she's soft because she lets mm-hmm. the dad do it, and he's off in New York or wherever he was with his, you know, little hottie toddy.
Tina Morrow,
the dancer.
That bitch.
Sounds like a whore.
Yeah. But to your point, the mom even admits that her choices weren't right either. Like letting the father kind of run over her and just do whatever he wants. She's still there alone. She still doesn't have the father there. So I think they do kind of cover that a little bit, the debt difference, that the mom is going to take it, whereas Katharine Hepburn's character is like, no, I was cutting, he's done.
So I think a lot of that is, the movie also is about forgiveness and forgiving those problems, like within yourself, those insecurities, those weaknesses within yourself and other people. But then again, where do you draw that line? Because I wouldn't forgive that fucking dad.
Yeah, I think, and that's the other thing too, like I felt like she was apologizing for who she truly was. Don't apologize. Girl, there's nothing wrong with your personality.
You be you.
Right? Like, that, I think that's the one part I disagree with the movie. And I agree with you about the dad. I think that the actor was wrong. I think it has to do with the writing and the actor. I almost am like, okay, well, could they have just said, what if the dad had never showed up until the very, like, the day of the wedding, right? Do we really need the dad character to come back, like, just to show how both women took the men back in the end?
Right.
Remember I kept saying, I think it should be W.C. Fields, and you're all like, what the hell are you talking about? I was like, I don't know, somebody else! Spencer Tracy, but I think he was the same age. I don't know.
He was a little bit older than Catherine, but that would have been weird, because that, they, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, there has to be something different that could be done with the dad.
The dad, like, I don't think the dad actually needed to be in the movie at all. Like, just the mention of him created the plot. And actually, it would have played a little bit better, because then you would see the dad just even doesn't give a shit that his daughter's getting married.
Yep.
You know, but I think then coming back to the society role, he had to be there to make appearances, that he's still the head of his family, that he's still doing that. And it's almost like they cast him because he fit with his brother, Uncle Rapey.
Uncle Rapey. He looked like Uncle Rapey.
He did look like Uncle Rapey. Well, yeah. I couldn't figure out whose brother Uncle Rapey was.
I think it was his.
I thought maybe Uncle Rapey was like a family uncle, not like a real uncle.
No, I think it was his brother, because the appearance-wise, and they were both British. I can't say 100%, but I always took him that he was his brother. And that his brother was still kind of around to help keep the family, you know, look. Yeah. When the dad couldn't be.
Y'all couldn't just see my eyes roll.
Because we can talk about Uncle Willie and his problematic pinching of women's behind.
Yeah, let's talk about Uncle Rapey, because I got lots.
Well, you take the other turn about how men portray women as trophies or whatever, and then how Uncle Willie treats women as
sex objects.
Yeah.
Like, you could say that.
He hadn't found his dancer yet.
No. I'm sure he's found a few.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think he's a confirmed bachelor.
I mean, the disturbing part to me is that he pinches her ass in the first scene.
That tells you so much about the dynamic of that family, which is uncomfortable. Like, I didn't realize, that's why I said, I was like, is he really the uncle or is he a family friend? A family friend, I would get, I'm not excusing the behavior, but it wouldn't be as icky.
He was no Saul from While You Were Sleeping.
He was no Saul.
No.
But that's who I thought he was. And then when I realized he was like the real uncle, I was like, sir.
Because, I mean, in the right context, having the lecherous old man can be used for comedy effectively.
If done.
Right. Effectively. In this case, it wasn't done right. I think the actor was a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a good job with what he had. If he had been written a little more, I don't know, though. Because he's kind of on the same level as, in Some Like It Hot, you have the guy that keeps chasing...
Oswald? Is it Oswald?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like he keeps chasing, and it's that same dynamic a little bit, but he just was a little too creepy with it. Like, if they had pulled him back a little bit, I think it would have been okay. And if he hadn't pinched Kate's ass.
Right, I think that's what threw it all off. And I get that they established, like, I was just thinking about this. They establish him pinching her butt so it makes more fun. So it's funnier when he does it to Hussie later on.
Right.
He probably should have done it to a maid, and which is horrible that I'm saying that, but I'm saying it would have, you could have still established his character, but not be like incestuous.
And I know part of it is they were making a joke that she teased him with the perfume like she was a different woman.
Which was weird.
And then he's like, don't tempt fate or whatever, if you're going to play the game, something like that.
Which the fact that how much she dumped on that rag, that would have reeked to high. I don't care how expensive a perfume is. How much she used on that rag was just like ridiculous. It would have smelled like,
you could have smelled it. You could have smelled it when they got out of the car.
Yeah, it was amazing. I do like, though, how the younger daughter Dinah makes him uncomfortable. It seems like she doesn't put up with this crap.
Yeah.
She's just kind of like, get in, old man. We need to talk about this. And he's kind of like, oh, I don't want to deal with you. I think they made her very progressive. She speaks her mind. She wears pants. And then when they had her like displaying her talent, she like sings a body song.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, yeah. That's when I started to like the kid.
Yeah.
Because normally I don't like kids. I'm sorry. I'm going to offend like 90% of the people listening. I don't like kids in movies. I think a lot of movies make kids be precocious because people think it's cute. It's actually really annoying. Just let a kid be a kid.
Yeah.
I think when she sang the body song, because at first I was annoyed with her. I was like, she's trying to just get an attention. But then I realized what she was doing. And I was like, all right, kid, you're funny. You got some good comedic talent, which is hard sometimes because, you know, people are like, oh, just play it cute. And people are laugh. That's not, I don't laugh half the time.
Yeah, I think she was a good addition.
I feel like they did a good job showing that they had a good relationship, too. Like, you felt like they could have been sisters.
Absolutely.
Actually, a lot of that casting was good in terms of, like, you really believe that Jimmy could end up with Miss Hussey, or like the dad and Uncle Willie, the guys look similar and they both had kind of the same mustache thing.
The only problem is one had talent and the other didn't.
One thing I never really liked about the movie, though, is that I don't feel like there's any affection between Hussey and Stewart.
No.
Yeah. Completely agree with you, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like she's just putting up with it because she likes him, kind of, but yeah, I don't know. And I like her character. Like I said, if anybody, you know, was going to be a lesbian.
I was honestly surprised they didn't. But back then, they would have made her more spinstery and lecherous because that's how lesbians were portrayed.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. So I like her as an actress, and I liked her character up until the end. She just is like, oh, it's fine that you made out with her and almost had sex with her and not me. Like, no.
And that you asked her to marry you right in front of me.
In front of me. Yeah, we know that we're supposed to be together. I was like, girl,
but
no.
Were they supposed to be together? Because she talks about letting him essentially go sow his wild oats, and she's always going to be there until he's ready. I know it's a very outdated idea.
But I kind of agree with John on that. I don't think they didn't create his character to be her love interest. I don't think they really were setting them up for that, and I think they were trying to make her really.
And here's why. There's this scene at the beginning when Katharine Hepburn is basically interviewing the two of them, and she's like, "Are you engaged?" or whatever, and he looks at her. And do you know what I'm talking about, Pamela? Yeah. Like, there's that awkwardness where he's kind of like, yeah, like, we're together. But then, are you? I don't know. I think it either A, needed to be more defined, as in, he thinks they're just friends, and she thinks there's more to it. To me, it was a lot of gray. Because remember at the end, I said, who is she supposed to be with? I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally see where you're coming from. I think
it's one of those things where there's some sort of social moire or something from back then that we don't get.
I don't understand relationships from back then. Like, that people could fall in love so fast in the movies. Like, right. I don't get that. And how you can just establish a relationship like that. Or maybe it's just me and coming from the position that I come from, that's really hard for me to understand how you can build that much trust into something so quickly. Like, do normal people act that way? Do you just, because I sure as shit don't believe in love at first sight. But
this got real deep.
This month, Pamela's the romantic.
Thanks for taking that over, Mike. Takes the burden off of me.
It goes with the vice president position.
It goes with
Vice
president. But they just built relationships so fast, and I don't understand that. I have a lot of problems when I look at movies back then, and I'm like, how do you establish that relationship so quickly? I don't know.
You think it's because people didn't live as long back then? And they were like, well, shit, we better get together.
Well, she has the fiance, she's had the ex-husband, she had her fiance. She always kissed him on the cheek.
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with their not wanting to show affection in movies back then.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's why it comes across, is because while you can tell they're like, oh, I love this person, I love this person, they never, like, today's movies, you know, they'll play out a whole montage of them having sex, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and making like out and showing Deadpool. Them being, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Deadpool's a different, but, you know, in rom-coms now, they can show that kind of affection and show that they get close in that way, whereas those old movies, they really couldn't, you know, besides The Lemon Drop Kid, when, you know, but that's more 50s.
Because it was 11 years later.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, there's a big scene where he's
Look what changed in a decade.
He's kissing her to try to, like, do something else behind her, but it's still, they you start, you know, movies started moving more that way when forms of affection
weren't because, like, even in sitcoms, they had separate beds and everything, even after they were married. So.
And they never kissed. It always ended as the screen closed before the lips touched.
Or they just kissed on the cheek.
Or they hugged. It doesn't matter what day and age a movie is set in, there are always unrealistic romantic expectations. There are some where you're like, okay, I'm like horror movies, right? Like, you got the final guy and you got the final girl, and all of a sudden, like, it's the nerdy guy and the hot girl. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, they're like, by the end, she's like, I'm going to be with you. No, you're not. Well, it's like, you're going to get through trauma, you're going to bang, and then your friends are going to be like, you can't date him, he's a nerd, and you're going to drive off. It's just, they set up really unrealistic expectations.
What's the honeymooner syndrome? Mm. You know, how did Ralph Cramden, a fat nobody, get a hot wife? And Fred Flintstone. I mean, they still have the schlumpy, dumb husband, you know, gets a highly attractive wife, and, you know.
Side question. Who was hotter, Wilma or Betty?
Betty.
I don't know. I like a redhead. Redheads.
Betty.
Betty.
I think his name was it?
Flint Rockhard?
Yeah, that one, or Rock Rockstone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because
I couldn't say Rock Hudson.
So, yeah,
no one said Barney. Except when Rick Moranis played him.
Oh, God, those are horrible movies.
I tried to watch it the other day,
and I was like, I couldn't get through the first. I was like, this is bad.
I mean, I accept that they're bad, but I love them.
And then we replaced them with a Baldwin and the other guy, the Viva Rock Vegas. Anyway.
Welcome to the Flintstones podcast.
Yes, welcome to that.
But one last note, John Goodman is beautiful casting.
Totally perfect.
Yeah, that was a good...
One thing that I did want to say, and I told you all when we were watching it that I really appreciated the fact, is the three leads, Kate, Old Jim, Care Bear. The acting in this is out of this world. Like, not everybody. Right. Not everybody, but the three of them. The scene where Cary Grant and Kate get into the fight about him telling her about herself, referring to her as a goddess. I mean, he didn't really raise his voice. His inflections changed. And from an acting standpoint, I was like, actors today should study this scene. Because what he did is he stayed reserved. He never was like, you bitch. He was like, you only think of yourself. You act like you're this goddess. You act like you were above everyone. I mean, it was such I hate saying the word perfect fight, but it was the perfect fight. Because even though she sometimes had retorts back, her face was showing every time one of those words hit.
Yeah.
She flinched a little bit, and you knew he got to her. And I was like, so good. So I have to say, and I know that, did she win the Academy Award? I know Jimmy did for his role, but I think she was nominated.
I think she was one of those people that was nominated a lot. And...
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah. She was like a Meryl.
The other thing about that scene that's good, though, is without that being acted so well, you wouldn't really understand the impact that George's words are making in a few minutes when she's talking to him, and he's immediately telling her all the things she wants to hear.
Yep.
You know, all the things that he thinks she wants to hear.
Yeah. But she doesn't. Like, and then later in the movie, when Jimmy's talking to her and telling her all the things she does want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And who does she go to the pool with in the middle of the night? I'm just saying.
See, and that's another thing, because I feel like the chemistry was there. That romance, I believe in.
Me
I believe
too.
That they could have 100%. Totally fell for each other in 3 days or whatever, 2 days. But
I would say fell in lust with each other.
Yes.
I think in the world today, we confuse lust with love.
Yeah.
So I think, 3 days. I mean, there was kind of a little hint. You could see a little of attraction between them. Mm-hmm. Once she found the book that he wrote, there was she was like a light switch. Like, it was off. And she was just like, which one are you? Are you the soft, compassionate writer? Or are you this hard, blah, blah, blah? And he's like, well, I'm both. She's like, I don't believe you. I mean, he's kind of both.
It's actually the most unbelievable thing about this movie, that an author saw two of his books in public. And it wasn't a hugely successful book.
That's true. Yeah. He's in the library.
And in my experience, that it only took him 2 years to write it.
It was a nice thick book too.
It was. And it was short stories.
It was short stories. Yeah,
wouldn't get published nowadays any day. So
if they were erotic short stories, there's always in a market for them.
Maybe that's why she was so excited about
it. Yeah, she was like, oh, when he touched her bust. I can't do it. I'm sorry. Every time. Yeah, it's like a really bad Eartha Kitt.
It would be in his voice though.
Oh.
What's funny?
Can you do your Jimmy?
Don't.
Do Jimmy read
yes, erotic do, fiction, do an
erotic
please.
Fiction.
And then he went up and caressed the buttocks in an erotic way. He moved his hands sensuously down her back.
The amount of money I would pay to hear Jimmy Stewart say sensuously and buttocks.
Like, I want him to read Twilight.
Oh, God.
But going back to the three lead actors, though, there was a bit that I found online that I thought was really interesting. It was what they were paid for their time in the movie.
Oh.
And even though Jimmy Stewart did win the Oscar for Best Lead Actor, he only was paid $15,000. Cary Grant actually had a stipulation. He wanted to be paid exactly $137,500, and it all had to go to the British war effort.
Aww.
So he didn't actually get paid at all for the film. And yes, Hepburn made $75,000 for the movie, and then she made $175,000 from selling
the rights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. He's the one that won the Oscar, and he got paid the least.
That's so interesting.
He had
a shitty agent.
Yeah, and it's just, and then what's interesting is that Cary Grant, though, he wanted that exact amount, and it had to go to the British War effort.
I bet it bought a tank.
Yeah, they were
like, we need a tank. Choo-dee.
There's a tank in the window
tank.
Seat.
Yeah.
There's a tank in the window
seat. So, yeah. And it's funny that you'd say Spencer Tracy. Know. Actually, Clark Gable and Spencer Tracy were Katharine Hepburn's first choice for her co-stars.
Mm.
Yeah.
She wrong.
Yeah, she totally wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Gable could have played her dad.
Yeah. But no, that apparently, according...
Because he could have been my daddy.
According to the interwebs.
That's what the title of this episode is.
Those were her first choices to play her the love interest. I love Spencer Tracy. I love his
I do too.
Stuff.
I do
his,
too.
His stuff, even when he got older.
I think that's why I kept thinking of him too as older Spencer Tracy, but there wouldn't have worked.
No, it would have been the same.
It would have been weird.
Definitely not at 32, like the dude was supposed to be in the movie. I can believe Jimmy at 30.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, he was like. Hello, other kids. Like, with a skateboard on his shoulder. Yeah.
Like the Steve Buscemi
yeah,
thing.
Fellow kids.
Yeah,
fellow kids. Hello, fellow kids.
Yeah. It's too funny.
No, I have to say, like, this is a really good movie. I highly, if you want to be an actor, like, if this is something that you're into, is, like, acting, just for that scene alone, this movie is, there's multiple scenes in it where the acting is, like, on its peak.
Let's do favorite scenes. What was your favorite scene from this movie?
I love any time Jimmy Stewart plays drunk. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's just amazing. O.C.K. Dexter Haven.
Yeah, that's mine too. I love the phone rings and he's like, don't interrupt me. It just keeps going. And they go to the door and he's still dictating in the background.
Yeah, you can hear him.
Where nobody's taking it down.
Cary Grant, you can see that he's trying not to break character in part of that because Jimmy is just being hilarious. I just love that whole scene. I love the chemistry between them and yeah.
I love the comedy in the movie, but I would go back and watch that fight scene again, just to watch it again. And anytime Miss Hussey wears the hat. Because her hats are legit. I don't know what the actress is. What's her real name? Anybody know her real name?
Yeah, it was Hussey.
No, her first name.
Oh, I don't know.
Is
really...
it Imogene? Yeah, was it Imogene Hussey?
I think it's Irene.
Irene Hussey.
I think
you're right. I liked her one-liners, and I liked
that
her
name is Ruth Hussey.
That's Ruth Hussey.
Elizabeth Embry was her character.
Because I kept saying... Who is Ruth Hussey? Why is she getting second billing?
Yeah. My favorite line
in the movie
is that same scene where they're drunk and he comes out and he's like, can you use a typewriter? And she's like, no, I got one at home. And it's so amazing because it's such a play on words. And it's that quick wit that we've talked about before in those old movies. Actually, I like the scenes with the daughter, with the younger, with Dinah. I thought she was just a good actress. She gave as good as she got with the adults.
I felt like the thing that kept her from being annoying was that her responses to things, while they were smart, they also matched what her age was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that they mess up so often with kid actors is they make them talk like they're 32 when they're supposed to be 10. You know, agreed. You can tell some adult wrote that for them to say. And her, it was a good mix.
Yeah. Nope.
And like, she had to go to bed early. You know?
I will say, there are too many horses in this movie. Horses, and I was not given a trigger warning before we sat down.
I'm sorry. I keep forgetting about your horse fear.
It is my note. Well, there are too many horses.
Well, and I think that actually, that scene sets up that whole class thing, too.
True.
It's because, you know, she was raised around horses. Mm-hmm. So she hops right into the saddle, whereas George, coming from a lower, you know, he wasn't really raised
around
horses.
I will give it to George, because I'd have been like, we ain't riding.
Yeah, chin. So he, you know...
You go ahead and I'll walk.
Though that does give you the great line where he keeps calling the horse Bessie, and it's like, maybe it's because his name is Jack. And then that leads you back to the Doctor Who episode, you know, with the horse and respecting their wishes.
His name is Susan, and he wants you to expect his life choices. Yeah.
So
good for Susan the horse.
I almost wonder if they saw that. It's so very close in concept.
Like you guys kept talking about her bathrobe and how she was Princess Leia. Maybe they saw that.
It could have. That robe, man, she's got, I swear.
That was something.
That's almost the exact same thing Carrie Fisher wears.
I would rather her worn that bathrobe to the wedding than that wedding dress. I still don't understand the breastplate.
Well, I don't even think that was supposed to be her wedding dress. I think she just never got dressed for a wedding, and that was just
no. I think that was the wedding dress because the mom was like, "You look great."
Oh, I don't know. I thought it's just because she was.
Sorry, I can't. I don't know what her voice is.
We hope wherever she is, she's not offended by this.
Well,
but it shouldn't be. That's how you sound.
Considering the movie's 80 Leave years old and she was like in her 50s, that I'm pretty good sure where she's at right now.
She's
right beside you.
Yeah, right. You know, there. Should we get the spirit box out? The same?
But that's not. I sound like Kate, but not your version.
Like you sound like the Emperor.
Do it.
Now it's all I can hear.
It's Lord Vader. This fully operational battle station.
You old poop.
You old poop.
Okay. Yeah, but hey, we brought that background Star Wars on multiple levels.
Oh,
there, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that whole scene was just kind of weird too, though. It's like they showed her kind of getting undressed in that titillating scene, and they had her in her little bathing suit.
Oh, it's titillating.
And then
she swam
like she swam for like
2 seconds.
Like 5 seconds. She's in the water, and they literally did it just to set up her getting that stupid boat.
Yeah,
that's the only reason they got her in the water was so that. Oh, it's so yar. And then she gets out of the water.
Yeah.
Why did she even bother to change if she was going to be in the pool for like 5 seconds?
They wanted to add some sex. To
they did. No, you're right.
Literally like, let's have her show an ankle and a shoulder.
She was showing off them gams.
Those gams.
And I still think it's funny that there's so many times where they got out a cigarette and never did a damn thing with it. Like, if you only actually saw them light up a few times, or sometimes they just showed up and they had a cigarette lit already. Like, you didn't see them get it out. You don't know where the hell it came from.
It was probably just the actor smoking on their phone.
Probably was. And Pamela caught there was a boom mic in one of the shots. So you've got to think a lot of those old movies. How many things are actually accidents that they just had to keep in?
The boom mic was actually when they came out of the library. You can see it in the reflection of the windscreen of the car.
Car, yeah.
Great movie choice, for sure. I'm glad that it was on the wheel, and I'm glad that that's what we got. I'm glad I got to see it. Like I said, I'm going to buy it. That's how you know it's a winner for me.
The one scene I would like to, again, address. Okay, at the end of the movie with the whole little wedding scene, there are no young people at all. It looks like a graveyard in there. You just saw grave markers in there. And I mean, I know Katharine Hepburn, her character kind of plays a little bit of a loner in this, but you would still think, because there was young people at the party dancing and out there, you know, it wasn't all of them in their walkers and wheelchairs, you know, reminiscing about the Civil War.
I wonder if that was another dig at the class system.
I mean, it could be.
Like, but, it was a wedding you had to attend, not because you wanted to, but because you needed to be seen.
And she had no bridesmaids.
Right. There was only, that was a tiny ass room for that wedding, too. So they probably said no kids. That's why they had the party.
Well, it was her second wedding, too. So how?
Oh, that's true.
Because they tried to get into, like, they were Quakers, like, I guess that area in Philadelphia. Confused. And, like, the librarian when she was doing the these and the, you know, that's a very Quaker thing, which was a good scene, too.
Oh, that
librarian.
Yeah.
Also, can we compare the number of people that were in that tiny room to the number of chairs that were outside?
Oh, yeah.
Because that whole area was massive.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think, like, it was, you know, a lot of people do, like, the wedding for just very close family and friends, and then the reception is for everybody else, right? So I'm guessing it was, like, high society, family at the wedding, no kids except for the
youngest daughter, yeah, and then everybody else is going to come celebrate at the reception.
I don't know. It was still weird.
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. I'm just thinking that's where I'm at. Because you're right.
The cake out.
Maybe there were a lot more people and George's people left. They're like, screw this.
Yeah, then once they found out George wasn't getting married, they just didn't see
the other side of the room.
How awkward would that be?
Well, that's a good question.
You don't want them there. Well, after you're like, well, you're going to watch me marry somebody else? I mean, I would stay because I would be like, y'all, this is going to make the best podcast episode ever. I'm taking notes.
Plus free cake.
I personally think they just didn't want to waste the money on extras.
They already spent that budget on all the empty chairs outside for 150 people on the Lanai.
And you noticed, too, you never saw any, like, caterers. You never saw any servers.
Well, that's because cake was already outside for 48 hours.
It just sat outside at night.
That cake sat out there for, like, all night.
But, and also, can we give the progressive enough, too, that they didn't use any minorities as, like, servants in this movie, like, for the 40s?
There was still a smidge of racism.
There was
a word that was used.
Miss Hussey has a word that she uses in there.
It's not that word, but it's another truly.
It makes you
word.
Think about going on a picnic.
Yeah. That's all we can say.
Yeah. Well, it was as she was going into the South room.
Right. So, like the joke we get.
Yeah, definitely.
But still, I was like,
we get it, but we want to give it back.
Yeah. Well, and it's a word that they actually use in a lot of those old movies. Like, we've talked about Vora Shirley Temple. They used it a few times in some shows.
I didn't even know that word until a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know it until the first time I saw this film called Holiday Inn.
Say that.
You son of a...
Every time he's gonna
every
bring
time.
It up.
I will
every
bring
time.
It up.
We'll be doing our August summer special episode. He'll bring up Holiday Inn.
One time during this movie called Holiday Inn, there was an entire racist segment for 5.5 minutes.
All right.
But good job. John, it's a good movie.
Good. Yeah. I'm so glad you liked it.
It's a good movie. Good choice. Good choice.
Which that seems like we should probably rate it.
Oh, yeah. What's your rating scale?
I think we should rate it on the number of C.K. Dexter Havens. And I expect you to do it like that when you say it.
Okay, the only problem with that is every time I hear that, all I can think is Freundleben. Oi, lady.
Oi.
With the hurt and the boom.
So who would like to go first?
I will give it 4.5 C.K. Dexter Haven.
This is everything I wanted and more.
And the reason I don't give it a full solid 5 is, again, I'm looking at it through today's lens. I don't like how they tore her down, and I don't like the domestic violence. But the acting is some of the best I've ever seen.
I think it's fair to say part of it's you have daddy issues.
Ooh. I mean, if Cary Grant was still alive, trust.
No, I mean,
I'd have daddy issues.
I mean, issues. Issues with the dad.
I do have issues with the dad. I think the dad's a port.
That's what I figured you were going to.
I'm sorry. I didn't even bother looking up the dad because I don't give a shit about his career.
Wow.
Pamela?
Oh, you know this isn't my top 3 favorite movies. So this is a whole 5 C.K. Dexter Haven.
That was very sing-songy.
It was.
I'm going to give it 4 C.K. Dexter Freundleben. I liked it. Old movies, though, like that, honestly, I like the humor. I like the rapid fire. This was a deep movie. It was a good movie. Definitely, I'm glad I got to watch it. But yeah, I give it 4.
I'm going to mention one thing before we go on. Coming back to that is the thing with this movie is it has a lot of that quick humor. But then there are also some of the jokes in there, since it came from a stage play, that I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to get an encyclopedia out to understand.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
Like he said, like, it's Hesperus and Jasper or something at one point. And I was like, what the hell is that?
I know what that meant. I just said, okay, I'm 10. And I'm sure everybody else laughing? Then I'm not laughing. Anybody else? No, they're laughing.
No, you're right. There was some very highbrow humor.
I thought that was like
there.
A Greek joke.
Yeah, but to get it, I would have to know what that is. So
No, you're right. There is some highbrow humor in there.
For my rating, I'm gonna give it a 4.5 too. For me, it is the dad that knocks it down that chunk, and I just don't like the way that she's treated. It just goes too far for me. But yeah, that's my rating. So it would be 4.5 C.K. Dexter Havens, which I always go a little goofy.
You
on
go
it.
A little goofy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I finally understand why you shout that out all the time.
We finally get an inside joke of John's.
What the hell is that joke? I don't know it.
We finally get an inside joke of John's. There we go.
Yeah, I just have them with myself. It's okay.
Okay. It's okay.
All right, so the next thing up is we need to spin the wheel and see who is going to be president next month.
Let me get my Vanna boobs on. Here we go.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff.
All right. It looks like it is going to be Pamela.
Oh, yeah, the Ernest Green story.
Yay!
Yay! I don't know what I said about.
I have no idea what it's about.
It's about Ernest Green. Yeah,
I would have never guessed that.
unless it's Ernest Goes Somewhere, I don't know any of those movies.
I watched Ernest Saves Christmas last night.
Did you watch that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a Jim Varney. I'm sorry, what is this movie?
It is about the Little Rock Nine.
Oh.
It's actually an educational film. You're not going to find it out and about in the wild.
Okay.
I had to actually specially buy it, and it does say for educational purposes on it.
It'll be very educational.
It will be very educational. But it's one of my favorite movies from when I was little, and it means a lot to me, and I hope you like it. And we'll be watching it in February, which I think goes perfectly for Black History Month.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's a really good choice.
That is good. Okay, so to choose who's going to get the other roles for next month, I want to hear some drunk Jimmy Stewart. Pamela gets to judge it, but she also gets to choose exactly what we say. It could be anything. You could take it from a movie.
Are
you
just going to give us free reign from a movie?
No, do something from Ghostbusters 2 as drunk Jimmy Stewart.
Oh.
Now I got to think of that movie.
Okay, let me think about that.
Well, Pamela already knows what my favorite line is from Ghostbusters.
Well, you go first.
All right, so drunk Jimmy Stewart. So you got... What was chasing you in the park? The park bench was chasing you? There we go.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, here we go. Wow. Hold on. She can take it. She's a harbor chick.
Well, I think I should have put some Nikes on her. Patted her feet.
Excuse me. Is anybody here a national monument? You, miss?
All right.
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Okay. Okay. What? Well, is the Upper West Side?
Giannis.
That's good. That was out of left field.
That's good.
So then you can do. We were looking up creeps in the area, Johnny, and you came up tops on our list.
You know, he's missing his kitten. He's suffering from Carpathian kitten loss. Mr. Vigo.
You're starting to sound like Carrie Carey. I know. You're really getting in there.
Vigo, hold on.
Hold on.
What are you doing? You're messing your kitten.
Scourge of Moldavia.
Scourge of Moldavia. There's many benefits to being the mother of a living god. Free parking.
Oh, okay.
Why am I drippings with goo?
Okay, now do it as Kate.
Why am I dripping with goo?
This has been the best thing ever. My cheeks are from laughing.
Now, how does she judge that?
I can't.
Get a bonus point.
Everybody gets to be vice president.
Oh, if only that simple.
Okay, let's do... Jason just went for it with all of it. So I'm going to make Jason vice president because he did bonus Kate.
Bonus Kate.
Bonus Kate.
It's like watching those little TV commercials where they're selling CDs and they're like, plus the bonus Kate.
You'll hear tracks like, buy my comic with gold. What was chasing you? The park bench? What just arrived? The Titanic? It's got a giant hole in it, but she's still quite young.
Okay. We're going to make Chris secretary, and we're going to make John treasurer just because I want him to suffer.
And there you have it.
Ooh. Alrighty then.
votes.
All right.
Where are we at?
Secretary.
Back to me.
Other business.
We, as a group, had some questions about when the story of the Lemon Drop Kid was set, because we were all confused as the time and the language and everything. So the author, who was Damon Runyon, originally wrote the original story, The Lemon Drop Kid, because it was based loosely on someone that he knew. And he was known for his short stories celebrating the world of Broadway in New York City during Prohibition. And Prohibition was from 1920 to 33, which also kind of explains the setting of the movie, because the phones, the language, the gangsters, all of that was old-fashioned by the time it was movie was made in 1951. So it appears that it took place during Prohibition. Makes all a right. lot of sense. So the other extra fun fact is that Damon Runyon's first short story collection from 1932 was titled Guys and Dolls. And the musical Guys and Dolls was actually based on two of his stories.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. So I love Guys and Dolls. Damon
Runyon.
Marlon Brando.
Well, all right. It's been a great episode with a whole lot of giggles.
That's what happens when we get pizza rolls.
So more pizza rolls next time.
I think we found it.
Well, I don't know, though. The Ernest Green story sounds like it's a little bit serious.
Yeah. So yeah. It might be a pita chips and hummus kind of day.
I was going to say, we don't want to get offensive with our, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, look, we've been getting so serious with these comedies. Like, Trolls, we had an in-depth discussion.
That's true.
Like,
that's very true.
I was waiting for the feedback. I was like, what are people going to think?
So maybe with this one on the back end, we'll just be like,
we're just going to be chasing each other around the table.
Oh my gosh. So if you'd like to check us out, if we decide to have hummus during watching the Ernest Green story, and also if you have suggestions about what we should have as snacks beforehand, it's never a bad idea because we like food. So you can definitely let us know. And you can reach out to us and tell us those things by following us on our social media accounts. Don't forget, you got to like the new Facebook page. We are on Instagram and Twitter, and we're there on TikTok. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. But you can also find all of our stuff out about us and about the movies that we love and find other episodes on our website, missingmovieclub.com. And if you want to make sure that you are notified of every new episode, including bonus episodes.
What?
Special screenings.
You need to make sure that you subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you are listening to. And in case you don't know, it's still my job to tell you. And here I go. I'm going to do it in one breath. Hold on a second. Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Overcast, Breaker, CastBox, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Stitcher, iHeart, Player.fm, and Ghana.
You should see the color he is right now. All right, so I think we're done. That should wrap it all up.
Think so.
I'm calling it. We're adjourned. Are there any of those pizza rolls left?
There's always pizza rolls. Let's go. They're on the stove.
Please come back.
Never know when Bad Kate may show up again. What's the movie again? The Ernest
Green Story.
It's the Ernest Green Story. It's edutainment for the rest of you. Google it. That was Eartha Kitt.
I was going to say. So kind of going over. Like Jane Duty Dench. Like, it's just like.
Google it.
Oh, God. I giggle snorted.
I don't know if you watch.